Welcome, gals, pals, and gentle dems, to another episode of Can I Keep You? The official podcast of the unofficial Davansawa Appreciation Society. My name is Allie, I'll be one of your hosts today, and joining me is the ever-lovely Lan. Lan, what are we talking about today?
Me! No, I'm kidding.
I mean, it's true.
It's my birthday.
We're gonna celebrate. I won't sing, but I'm singing in my heart.
It's like the Japanese amusement park. Please scream inside your heart. And it's like, I have been my whole life.
I'm just screaming into the void, and the void's like, please stop. Please stop.
We're talking about Christmas today. Christmas specials, Christmas movies. I guess the stuff we watched growing up and what we watch now. Just a generally festive conversation that falls too close to my birthday for my liking.
We're getting our holly jollies on, would you say?
Yes. I had cat ears on, not that any of you could see it, but Allie could see it, and they had little tiny green and red jingle bells, but they were making too much noise.
You might not be able to see it, but I am currently wearing what I call my Grinch pin. It's a green glitter heart with a little Christmas tree that's Whovian and in nature.
That's very cute.
I described it at work today as my official Whoville citizenship badge.
I bought Margot a sweater that she totally loves wearing.
I'm sure she's just ecstatic.
No. but it's like this little sweater that says Merry Grinchmas. And it has a picture of the Grinch. And the face she makes when she's wearing it is very on point with the sweater. Actually, I just posted a picture to Instagram of her in it.
I'll have to check it out. Hopefully by the time this episode airs, I will have finished my holiday decorations. Because we currently, as of the date of recording, still have our Halloween decorations up.
Yeah, we didn't even get to Halloween decorations this year, so I don't know what our excuse for not having Christmas ones up yet. I mean, like, we're going to be doing a big rearrange and tidy up over the next while, so we might do that to our living room before we bring the Christmas decorations over. So it'll be like, okay, we've reset everything, we've rearranged this room, we've opened it up, and now let's put this beautiful Christmas tree in the corner.
So, just to prepare you from my level of holiday cheer, I have three trees.
We have two.
Actually, no, I have four, because I have one that I bring to work that I specifically sewed a tree. Well, I didn't sew. I hot glued a tree skirt for.
Yeah, I saw it. It was very cute.
It's on my Instagram reels.
It's very vintage.
Yeah, I was inspired by this Instagrammer called Melodrama, who does like a vintage tree skirt tutorial, and they're kind of like all over the place, and some people sew them and some people hot glue them, and I got damn good hot glue gun skills. So
nice.
So you said like your birthday is quite close to the Christmas. There's like 70 holidays all in the same like month and or 6 week period, or like so many groups around the world have like so many holidays, all of the holidays.
Yeah, everyone's like, let's hang out and have good times before we have to hole up completely for the rest of the year.
Right. It was minus 23 today.
Oh
yeah, it was one of those days where everything is just ice. And I live in a very cold place. Hopefully, I live in a place where the air hurts my face. And it was very cold today. And even wearing two pairs of very cheerful socks and a big old sweater didn't really do much. So I understand wanting to be cozy and warm and joining with your people. And
yeah, I do not have to go very far when I go to work. So that's nice. I just have to like walk across to the other building on the property or just go downstairs. But yeah, it's definitely been chilly, but not that chilly where I am. It's like, oh, it's minus four.
But still minus four where you are versus minus four where I am is a totally, totally different feeling. Because minus four where you are feels like minus a billion because all of the wet gets inside of your clothes. But that's not why we're here.
It's not why we're here.
We're here to talk about cheerful things. Did you get the classic Christmas birthday combination presents?
No, my dad was a gem. Still is.
Shout out to Mr. Lance's dad.
Hi, Dad. He has three daughters, and their birthdays are November 18th, November 28th, and December 8th. So it's literally 10 days in between.
So it's a birthday season.
Yeah. And like my little sister is much younger than me, but growing up, he always made a point of separating the two. I mean, there were definitely years because we didn't have a lot of money where it was like, we might not be able to really afford to do Christmas and birthdays or whatever, but he always seemed to make it happen. But when he was married to my mom, his birthday, their wedding anniversary, and Father's Day was all like within a week of each other. And I'm pretty sure he only got one gift. So... So yeah, he always made sure to break it up. I just had a rule where I was like, no Christmas in the house until after my birthday. And so I would like decorate the tree on my birthday. And I'd be like, it's the thing for me to do. And everyone's like, that's totally fine. I don't really want to do it.
Be like, you do you.
Meanwhile, I'm hopping around the tree with tinsel. I still have that tree, actually. My dad gave it to us recently because we had the same artificial tree growing up, and then his cat broke it. So they replaced it with one that was harder for her to knock over. And so we'll see how it goes this year with Margo.
I've heard like cats don't love citrus. So if you do like dried oranges as a decoration, maybe it will keep her out of the tree.
Oh, that's interesting. I've been eating a lot of oranges lately and she's getting real weird around me. And I was like, I wonder if it's because my hands smell like oranges. I guess it is. She's probably like, ugh, those stink. And they like stink really strongly.
Many, many years ago when our cats were just petite bébés.
Petite bébés.
We sprayed our artificial tree with this stuff called bitter yuck because our black cat, Cass, just loves chewing on artificial tree branches. We sprayed it down, like we soaked that fucking tree. We soaked it down to the point of like, it was almost like if you've ever seen someone like be near pepper spray and they get their eyes all like red and watery. That's how much, and he just does it anyways. It did not work at all. And to this day, whenever we pull the big tree out of the box, I'm like, it still smells like bitter yuck.
Oh no.
But I'm super, super, I get a little bit extra, shocking no one, because I have like the big tree and it's got all of my like Disney ornaments on it.
Oh.
So my mother-in-law and I used to go down to the Disney store, the big Disney store that was here before the pandemic closed them all. And every year we'd buy some ornaments, or we'd buy like, eventually it became like one ornament because the trees were quite full. But like I have a Disney tree skirt with Mickey and Minnie on it. My star for the top of the tree has Tinkerbell sitting on one of the arms. Uh-huh. Like,
I used to put like a Corpse Bride figurine that my dad gave me as a stocking stuffer one year on the top of my tree because her skirt just fit it perfectly.
Jack and Sally are the last ornaments that go on our tree every year. Aww. But then yeah, we have the two smaller trees for like all of the other really great ornaments that we've collected or been gifted that are like cupcakes or Christmas balls or little sweaters, or like I have an octopus and John has a bear. It doesn't fit the aesthetic, but I love them. So we're going to have multiple aesthetics.
Yeah, we have a very like mishmash tree. We've always done that though. Like we had random ornaments that you get or are made over the years, and like you slowly run out of the plain bulbs, but like that's okay because you're running out of room for them anyway. But every now and then I'll be like, I want a blue and silver tree this year.
Do you ever do like the pipe cleaner candy corn reindeer situation with like the googly eyes and the little fuzzy nose?
No, but I know what you're talking about.
So for anyone who doesn't know what I'm talking about, you get a pipe cleaner and a candy cane, a large candy cane. And what you do is you leave the wrapper on the candy cane and you go to the top of the hook of the candy cane. You twist the pipe cleaner and then you kind of like crunch it into antler shapes. And then you stick a pair of googly eyes on it and a fuzzy little red pom-pom, and you have yourself a reindeer candy cane ornament. Which is like stuff that we used to make in elementary school. One year we did a little mouse inside of a walnut shell with like an acorn. But yeah, so you have like those kinds of ornaments, or like someone gave us a pickle one year. I'm not really 100% sure. It's like apparently a German tradition to hide the pickle, and whoever finds the pickle gets to open the first gift.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, we never did that in my mom's side of the family, but I'll take the pickle because the notion of having a glass pickle is amazing.
Yeah. We always did the, like, who's playing Santa? I think it was often me because I just got really excited. I was the little one growing up. I just, like, I love Christmas. I think that's one of the funny things is for any young children listening right now, I don't know why, because this is not an appropriate podcast for young children.
But not at all.
Plug your ears. We never believed in Santa growing up.
Oh.
It was just not a thing. But I would, like, play with it. every year. Like part Santa was part of Christmas, but it's not like, I don't know. I would write him in the North Pole and like I would get the letters back being like computer printed and all that with pictures around it. I'm like, well, I'm glad I don't believe in Santa Claus because I'd be really disappointed with this obviously manufactured. But I like left cookies and milk out for my dad. That's and fair. Would like put the thing in the tree just being like, Santa, it's in the fridge. I didn't want your milk to go bad.
So I won't lie. I believed, I just held on to that belief. And like, I fully believed in Santa. And when people are like, you know, mall Santas are fake, right? I'm like, well, Santa is a busy guy and it's the Christmas season. So I can understand if he has like pretend Santas who work for him and pass on information because he can only be everywhere at once on one night of the year. He has to save up all of his Christmas magic for Christmas. And people would be like, okay.
Kevin McAllister from Home Alone, when he's like, you know, I'm not dumb. I know that you're not the real Santa, but I know that you work for him. And so can you tell the big guy this? And it's such a great like switch on what you think it's going to be. But yeah, we just never really did that. And I can't say I have any plans to raise my kid with thinking like how that sounds like so much work. I don't know. It was just not something that we grew up with. And I guess like there were times where I wish I believed, but like there were so many other things that I cared more about than the fact that I just made believe about Santa Claus. I don't know. I never had that heartbreak of finding out he wasn't real. And I still love Christmas so much, more than most people.
I remember the year that I realized he wasn't.
Oh no.
And I was furious, like fully tyrannical, tip of the top ADHD meltdown furious, because I specifically asked and asked and asked for ice skates. Like I told my whole family, I told, you know, I told the Santa, I told my grandparents, I told everybody, the only thing I want for Christmas this year is ice skates. And Christmas comes, and I think maybe it was my parents didn't have a lot of money that year for like ice skates because they're fucking expensive. So I had these really cute secondhand roller skates in the box when I opened it. And I was like, what is this? And my mom was like, well, sweetie, Santa and I had a talk last night and he wanted me to let you know that he ran out of skate blades in his workshop and he had to give you roller skates instead. And I was like, Santa is magic. He lives in the North Pole. I do not believe for one second that he did not have skate blades in his workshop or that the elves couldn't make them. And that's when I realized there was no Santa. It was just my parents. And I lost. I was crying. I made myself sick. I was so upset. Because like, okay, I had undiagnosed ADHD throughout my childhood, and it's like, I'm not using it as an excuse, but anybody who has that knows that sometimes your like emotions are really big and you can't regulate them, so you add that on top of being a child and just being crushed. And it was just like, it was the end of the world. And like, now I look back and I'm like, it was very sweet of my parents to like try and make it okay when they couldn't give me what I actually really, really, the only thing I actually wanted. And I feel like, you know, I was kind of like being ungrateful maybe, but I was just so upset. It was the double whammy of the no ice skates and the Santa Claus isn't real. And I just lost it.
Yeah, too many emotions overlapping. I'm really glad that I never went through that because like, as someone whose parents split up when they were like when I was two, you already have your parents are flawed human beings. Otherwise, why wouldn't they still be together? And so the idea that they're lying to me for like some holiday thing, I'm such a cynical kid too. Like I don't know if I would handle that very well. But I also grew up with like I've never had like not that kind of meltdown, but you know, where kids just like, I didn't get that thing that I wanted or whatever. Those meltdowns, I never had those because like I always knew that it was just my dad and he was doing his best.
Well, there's like a couple of reasons where I think that I just like was so just adamantly believing in it. One of them was like when I was very small. Like in the 80s, this was a thing. 80s, early 90s, this was a thing. You could get these books where the child's name was inserted into the story. So you'd send away and you'd give them like the kid's name and their like favorite color or whatever. And I had two. I had a Christmas one and just a regular normal one. And it basically puts you into the adventure. And the Christmas one was like, you help all of the different Santas around the world. So you help like Santa, Père Noël, Santa Claus, and then the Italian Nonna who brings Christmas in Italy. And so it was like five different Santas on this like adventure where I'm driving the sleigh and you collect the letters of peace. And
Oh.
that's like the greatest gift. So I was like very, and I was like, there's different Santas, and so they all work together, and it's like a team effort. So it's totally plausible that they can be everywhere because they're different. And I also had this book. It's this big book of Christmas, and it's got all these different stories about like Santa's workshop and like angels working for him. Somebody's Christian aunt definitely gave it to me when I was very small. Because now reading as an adult, I'm like, wow, this is extremely more religious than I was expecting, and that wasn't really part of my childhood. But I was like, you know, the angels work all year in Santa's workshop and they do all the baking and the elves help them, and it's just like this big team effort to make magic around the world at this cold, cold time. And then I just crushed me. Crushed me.
I as a kid who grew up in grew up in church, the idea of angels making the presents it's very funny to me. I'm like, they're pretty hardcore and not
Right, these I'm talking like they're like the cute little cherub child angels.
that nice.
And they like prepare toys and listen to prayers. And there's like one story about a little angel who doesn't really understand Christmas, and she goes on this whole like quest where she ends up taking the stars off her dress and the silver hair off her head to decorate a tree for like a poor family. Sorry, I'm getting like really weird and emotional about it. But it was like my favorite Christmas story for, I don't know, like years and years and years. And instead of like Advent chocolate, it was Advent stories about this angel called Muffet who muffed everything up, and that's why the name of the angel was Muffet. It's like the most inept angel just making chaos instead of helping with Christmas. Like losing St. Peter's keys and all these things. They're like a story in 24 parts. It
It's
was a very
amazing.
cool thing.
Yeah, my sister just got my kid their first Advent calendar, and it's like a new book every day. So it's like a little pocket thing of
Cute.
yesterday was Cinderella. We haven't done today's yet.
That's fun.
Yeah, I really like that idea because she doesn't eat a lot of candy. And I don't like Advent candy chocolate, so.
It's pretty gross. And also, they're like $10 now. I was looking at them at the store, they're like Lindor, Kinder. And I'm like, this is rich people chocolate. Where is the waxy chocolate candy of
I just
yesteryear?
want the validation of opening the little cardboard flaps.
Right? Like, give me little drawers to open. Like, give me something. I just love little, you can put an orange in it. I don't give a shit. Little oranges, some nuts. I don't know.
Yeah, my sister, I don't know if she, no, she didn't do it this year because she got her kid the same Advent calendar. But she used to have the stockings, those little mini stockings with the one, two, three, and every day in December, they pull out a little thing and it's like Christmas cracker type level gifts. But it's like, oh, is that chapstick you wanted or something? And so it's very cute. I just feel like that would be too much work for me, and I plan on having more kids than her, so I'm going to use that as validation.
How many is more? How many does she have? May I ask?
She has one. I want three. Don't want to start something I can't continue once we have more kids.
No, because you got to set that bar and then you just got to keep doing the things.
Exactly.
Like, I also got really bitter about like being too old for Christmas crafts. Like, we used to do all kinds of stuff with like making styrofoam snowmen and like little window clings out of fabric paint, shit like that all the time. It was very 90s. And then it suddenly stopped because my parents got divorced and my mom got a job. But yeah, the Christmas crafts stopped because at a certain age, you don't do them in school anymore. And I feel like you probably don't do them in school now because, like, not everyone celebrates Christmas. So you want to be, like, more inclusive. But, like, my parents got divorced. My mom got a job. She was, like, not home anymore. And when she was doing other things. And there were no more crafts. But this is the book that I was talking about. It, as you can see, has seen some shit.
It's been to the book doctor a few times.
Yeah, and it's from Christmas 1987, so it was my second Christmas alive. And there's like songs and stuff in it, there's recipes in it. There are some things that should never appear in any kind of Christmas book in terms of crafts that are unfortunately quite poor taste.
Oh no.
But yeah. Oh, I'm gonna gonna try this recipe for spiced biscuits. But yeah, there's a little angel with a silver hair helping Santa Claus decorate trees. Reading it now, I'm like, this is pretty Jesus-y. There are gnomes. The angels have the help of Christmas gnomes. Not really sure.
The traditional Christmas gnome.
Right? You gotta have your Christmas gnomes. The Silent Night music is in here. There's just a lot of stuff, and I loved it. I loved it. For me, like, I love the crafts. I love the baking. My mom, when I was really little, like I said, she was like a stay-at-home mom when we were small. I don't know if she enjoyed it or not. As an adult, I get the feeling that perhaps she did not have as much fun as we had with a stay-at-home mom. But our house turned into a Christmas cookie factory.
Oh, that's awesome.
Sugar cookies, shortbread cookies, this stuff called Christmas confetti butter that I'm still obsessed with to this day. That's basically just peanut butter, chocolate chips, coconut, and those little multicolored marshmallows.
Nice.
We never did like the gingerbread house thing. I don't know. Did you?
No, we didn't really do any of the baked goods or anything like that.
No.
I would like to make gingerbread myself for a gingerbread house with my partner. We've joked about how we're going to have to make a bunch of like 2x4s, like gingerbread 2x4s, because he's a carpenter. And so we'll get the framing of the house done and then everything will stay up.
That's so cute though. I would love to see that if you ever do your like YouTubes.
Yeah.
Christine McConnell is an artist and she makes the most elaborate, crazy, bananas, beautiful gingerbread houses. And she's like all self-taught or something. I don't know. It's incredible. But also like my grandma made these like shortbread buttons with like little maraschino cherries on them. And I hated maraschino cherries basically at any other time of the year, except for these specific, I think they're called glacé cherries, bright red candy cherries. I also love like the consistency of Christmas, which I guess brings us back to the topic at hand, to the media portion of the program, because every year, this is before streaming, when you could just watch things when you wanted to, you had to check the TV guide to see when your favorite Christmas specials would be airing, usually on CBC or ABC. And for me, it was all about that claymation life. Like, we're talking Santa Claus is Coming to Town, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Like, that, those were my, like, tip-tops. I did watch the Frosty cartoon.
Yeah.
But I was like, this snowman is not Burl Ives. Therefore, I do not care.
Yeah, I didn't have cable after I was, like, 7. But my babysitter, who is, like, my after school care person, so like she didn't just watch me for date nights, those didn't happen, but she had this tape that was in her Christmas decorations box, so it only ever came out at Christmas, and she had recorded like a bunch of like the Christmas specials. I think Rudolph was on there, and then she had For Better or For Worse, that comic strip.
Oh yeah.
They had a cartoon and there was a Christmas episode called like the Christmas Angel or something. And I loved that one. And the Teddy Bear Christmas.
I'm not familiar.
I have no idea what, I think that might be from like some kids books or something. But yeah, there was definitely a cartoon and it's sort of like looking back to the first Christmas where we got this other teddy bear.
And
I didn't believe in Santa Claus, but my goodness, do I believe in the power of teddy bears.
That's fair. Teddy bears to this day hold superpowers. So
yeah, mine's named Lancelot and he guards me at night.
I have a Stitch that hangs out. I have many Stitches.
Okay.
So this is not even the full collection. None of you can see this, but behind me I have a giant Stitch, a regular size Stitch, an Easter Stitch, a pizza delivery man Stitch, and a mechanic Stitch. And on the shelf I have a Pop Stitch, a Valentine's Day Stitch, and a Valentine's Day Angel, which is Experiment 625 from the Lilo and Stitch TV series. And I have a Christmas Stitch, and I have a Stitch in my room.
That's great. And
I think I have more of them in my chest than I have another storage chest in my house. Plus the Stitch Mickey Mouse Disneyland hat.
Nice.
Which I was like, I just already bought these like beautiful Mardi Gras Minnie Mouse ears, but I really want it. And my husband was like, just get it. We're never coming back here.
Yeah, I have my friend went to Disneyland. There was an event that involved a family member and he messaged me and was just like, hey, you're a Disney girl, right? I call him my grumpy friend.
That's amazing.
Like, you're a Disney girl, right? And I'm like, yes, I am. It's like, oh, well, I'm here. What do you want? And so I was like, could you get me some Sally Minnie Mouse ears? And it's like the middle of the summer. So I think he said like he went to so many shops trying to figure out where to get those, and he got them for me, and now I wear them on Christmas because they're a Christmas.
That's totally fair. I have regular mini ears. I have pirate princess mini ears with my name stitched on the back.
Very nice.
I was like, spray my hair full of glitter. Can you do that?
Make me a princess.
And they were like, yes. And my husband was like, please, for the love of God, don't. I have to share a bed with her. I love him. He is my absolute favorite person and my partner and my BFF. He doesn't do glitter. That was one of the things when I used to perform burlesque, I would wear like all of the glitter. And he's like, you have to make sure as much of that is off of you and the show as possible, because it will get in my beard and I will never get it out, which is true.
Never. It'll be like 10 years down the road and you haven't had glitter in the house in that entire time. And then it's like, oh, you've got a bit of glitter in your beard.
And he'd be like, no. I also loved The Muppets Christmas Carol. There was a Mickey Mouse Christmas Carol.
Yes, I watch that one every year. And The Muppets.
Yeah, I'm like, I personally believe that The Muppets Christmas Carol is the definitive version of a Christmas Carol.
Yes. Apparently a lot of people our age do view it as the Christmas Carol, because I remember on Twitter a few years back, people being like, oh my God, I only just found out that Jacob and Marley is actually Jacob Marley. What's one person, because he's the two
Statler and Waldorf.
Yeah. And then like, once our generation had seen The Muppet Christmas Carol, we just never went back.
Okay, the thing about it is, though, like, I feel like I would make an exception for Scrooge with Bill Murray, because that is also a Christmas Carol. However, the, like, actual Christmas Carol, the Dickensian version, is extremely Dickensian and can be very depressing. And if you throw a Muppet in there, I'm gonna show up.
Yeah. Oh, we were watching, Netflix just put out a Christmas Carol.
Oh?
Yeah, it's, like, kind of in the same vein as Sea Beasts. It's just another cartoon they put out a while ago, which is very cute. But we watched the trailer and there's so much like color and all this kind of stuff. And I was just like, oh, it feels so much less Dickensian than normal, which is ironic as it's Dickens.
Full respect to Charles Dickens and his lineage.
Speaking of the Muppet one, that was the first movie that Brian Henson directed after his dad died.
Aww.
Yeah. And so like, way to hit it out of the park, sir.
Right.
And he apparently also because he just did the puppeteering before that, but he voiced Jack Pumpkinhead in Return to Oz.
Bringing it back.
I love Jack Pumpkinhead.
I feel like there should be more movies. This is an aside and a tangent. I feel like there should be more movies that are movies that star Muppets.
Yes.
Because Muppet Christmas Carol and Muppet Treasure Island are both incredible.
I love both of them.
And they did like Muppets Haunted Mansion, but it felt very much like Muppets on a Ride.
Mm.
It wasn't necessarily like a movie. It's not like they made like Knives Out with Muppets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which, in my opinion, is the perfect movie to Muppetify. You just leave Daniel Craig as a person and everyone else is Muppets.
I could see him as someone who performs against Muppets, because it's not easy to do, but like, blanking on his name, Michael Caine. Very emotional indeed. He acts his heart out in that movie. He doesn't like pull any punches. It's like he
takes it totally seriously.
He was like, yes, this is my big chance to play this famous role, and it doesn't matter that there's an eagle in front of me. That's one of my favorite parts. It's the American way. It's the British way. I love Sam Eagle so much. I remember when what was it? The Great Gatsby. The copyright was going up on it.
Oh, okay.
And people were like, please tell me this means that like there's going to be a Muppets Great Gatsby.
Can you imagine?
Would that not be amazing? So it was like, would Kermit be Gatsby or Nick? And they were like, obviously he would be Nick and Gonzo is Gatsby.
No, I would disagree.
Other way around?
I would disagree. I would say Kermit would be Gatsby because Piggy would be Daisy.
Ugh.
And Gonzo would be Nick. Or Gonzo and Rizzo would share the role of Nick.
Yeah. And then that lady golfer that's also friends with them who like
would be Camilla the chicken.
Yeah, exactly. Who's like my favorite Muppet.
This shit writes itself. Disney, come hire us.
Yes, there's just so many things that you could do with that. And so when it popped up on the internet, I was like, how is this not already a thing?
Right? Can we collectively hallucinate that it is like a movie Kazam? Or Shazam, but it's actually Kazam with Shaq. And we all think it's Shazam because his name is Shaq. But Shazam
didn't
exist.
That's so weird.
Shazam is also a Christmas film. I'm just going to throw it out there. The one with Zachary Levi in it where he's like a Billy Batson turns into Shazam. It's a DC film.
That was delightful.
It happens at Christmas time. So it qualifies as a Christmas movie in the same way Die Hard does. And Hobbs and I are going to go see Die Hard in the theater on the weekend because one of the theaters here is showing it.
That's nice. My partner and I used to watch Die Hard to like ring in the Christmas movie year, so it would be the first Christmas thing we watch.
Aww.
It's harder to watch that now with a small child. Obviously, it's not appropriate for small children, but leaving that aside, our kid gets very stressed out with like big action scenes, and sometimes if people are fighting on screen, it can make my kid really upset and start crying. Aww. Comedic violence with animals, it's the best thing ever, but like two people fighting in a room because they're having an emotional situation and my kid will just crumble and cry.
Aww.
Like the people in this scene are upset.
There's so much empathy.
Yeah, so much empathy.
Hmm.
Christmas things.
Yes. Drawing it back because that's why we're here.
Because that's why we're here. Constantly trying to get back on topic.
Slap it on a tote bag.
I like the thing that we said last episode, which is like taking the scenic route to our topic.
Come for a meander.
A little correction corner that ties into our theme. But on the last episode, we were talking about Black Friday, the movie that Devon Sawa did with Bruce Campbell.
Oh, yes.
I can't remember if it was one of us or both of us called it Black Christmas, which...
Oh, because that's a whole different situation.
A 1974 horror movie or slasher film, like one of the first, starring Olivia Hussey, who, by the way, is the mom of Les from Du Jour. Just putting it out there, bringing it back to Josie the Pussycats.
Because we gotta Du Jour around the world.
I like watching that movie at Christmas. I usually watch it by myself. Scott showed an interest this past year, so that's nice.
Was Margot Kidder in that film?
Yes.
Okay.
That's my main frame of reference for Margot Kidder because I didn't really watch the Superman movies growing
up. That's fair.
And so she's like this spoiled but lonely college student who's like a total alcoholic. And that's how I think of her when I look at my cat. Margot Kitty.
Oh my god. I didn't realize that the cat had a full name. This is the greatest thing I've ever heard. Congratulations, you win at everything.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I have only ever seen the remake of Black Christmas.
Which one? The really recent one or the one that they're like, instead of just the normal story, let's put incest in it.
No, it was like the early 2000s full sorority girls. I think like maybe Brittany Snow is in it. Hang on one second. I shall go to the Google machine while we continue.
Yeah, they did one when I was in high school, I think. Early aughts.
Oh, Black Christmas was Canadian. The 1974 version was Canadian.
Yeah, they did the remake then, and I went to go see it with, or no, I was supposed to go see it with a couple of my friends on Christmas Eve or Christmas evening. I can't remember, but the theater that was showing it was closed. So we ended up going to see Aragon, which was also not great.
I'm talking specifically about the 2006 version.
Okay.
I was wrong about the casting. It's Katie Cassidy, Michelle Trachtenberg, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Lacey Chabert, Andrea Martin from, shit, she's a famous Canadian comedian. She was on a show with like Steve Martin. She was in My Big Fat Greek Wedding. She was the aunt in My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Anyways, It was a lot of 2006 people. But I didn't even know there was one in 2019, but apparently there was.
Yeah, I would like to watch the 2019 one and get like full circle on it.
Oh, it's Blumhouse.
But yeah, the 2006 one, I was like, I'm definitely watching it because I love the original and Michelle Trachtenberg's in it.
Harriet the Spy.
And then I watched it and was like, why incest? Why incest?
Oh, I generally, I don't recommend that. Or I don't.
I don't recommend incest personally.
No, I don't recollect that being part of the film. But apparently, since House of the Dragon and Game of Thrones, like House of the Dragon is so popular from HBO, like people are like, yeah, we got really cool with incest all of a sudden. We're just gonna cheer for this entire family lineage that's so crazy interbred. They should have so much hemophilia. Blood of the Dragon, yeah, intensely hemophiliac Blood of the Dragon.
Yeah, way to go, Vicky. Oh, and super fun fact about Black Christmas is it's directed by Bob Clark, who directed A Christmas Story, the 1980s classic, which I love and my partner does not.
I never saw A Christmas Story until I was an adult. Oh. So it was never really part of my like growing up. It was very much like claymation specials, Frosty the Snowman. Once there was, we taped off the TV, 12 Days of Christmas cartoon where this guy completely misunderstood a princess's Christmas list. Like he thought it was her Christmas list. It was just a poem she was writing, which was like the 12 Days of Christmas. And she's like, why are you giving me so many birds? Literally, this is awful. And like, I don't know. I'm like trying to think of The Muppet Christmas Carol is like a movie that we watch, but mostly it was, and The Grinch, like the cartoon Grinch, not the Jim Carrey Grinch. I have a lot of respect for the styling of the Jim Carrey Grinch.
That world building was awesome.
Yeah, Universal Studios puts up Whoville on their backlot tour and it's crazy.
Well, and he's like super, super claustrophobic as well. And I think he had a really hard time in the makeup. So the fact that he could get that performance out while like dying inside is pretty good. Martha May. Love her.
Yes, Christine Bernanke.
Oh, actually, speaking of movies that I call Christmas movies, because she's one of the camp counselors in Addams Family Values, which is my Thanksgiving movie.
Do not trust the pilgrims. Do not trust Sarah Miller.
So I'm going to scalp you and burn your village to the ground. Someone online on Native Twitter the other day was saying, like, I feel like Christina Ricci is the only white person who ever gets a pass with dressing up as a Native by us because we, like, every Thanksgiving, we just post her face over everything. And Tribe Called Red, or I guess they're called Hallucination now, they did a Thanksgiving song where they sample that scene, and it's so good. But the movie we were talking about before that we were calling Black Christmas is Black Friday.
Ah, yes.
And that one features Devon Sawa in a Santa hat and not Olivia Hussey, the mother of Les from DuJour.
So, speaking of sexy Santa situation, just gonna do a Devon segue on this one. Bringing that back. So fully Devon segue into, there's a movie coming out. I think it's out today, actually, the date of recording, called The Violent Night, which has David Harbour as like a sexy man bun Santa who has zero tolerance for like naughty. Somehow this little girl in the trailer gets like a radio that connects her actually directly with Santa, and her family's being held hostage, and Santa has to go like full, like he's using his magic, he's hitting people with candy canes, he's like naughty list, like, and I'm just like, okay, so just touching back on the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer thing, my first fictional childhood crush was Yukon Cornelius.
Sorry, I didn't know that part of this.
Yeah. So,
love it.
I was in love with a claymation prospector as a very small child, which I've achieved my life goals because my husband bears a striking resemblance to Yukon Cornelius if you put him in a red hat. So I'm winning. But I'm like, this is gonna hit that same button, isn't it? Shit.
Your first crush was Yukon Cornelius, and now your husband looks like him. One of my first crushes was Scott Wurmer, and I married a Scott. So we're both winning at life, I guess. My Scott's much nicer than that Scott was.
Team high five.
There's a delay because of the time difference.
Right. True story. One of my like ADHD stims is clapping, but not specifically clapping. It's like I'm giving myself a high five. It's not like a clap, like in a rhythm. It's like a, yeah, like a self five. So that's just a weird fun fact about me.
Pardon me, I'm eating so much candy while we record this. It's terrible.
Is it Christmas candy?
It's Skittles. This is a holiday snack bowl.
With a Skittles logo. This is incredible.
It's got like little presents and bells and Skittles. Holiday snack bowls.
I almost bought a snowman-shaped cookie jar at Chapters today. Because I get off the train and sometimes we go to the Chapters and we get like a little Starbucks on Friday as a treat. And also like, I call it peppermint mocha season because they're delicious. But I saw it across the store and I looked at him and I said, we're going across the store. We don't need anything, but I want to look at the snowman cookie jar. And then I picked it up and I'm like, this is $36. I already have a cookie jar that looks like a cow and a cookie jar that looks like a companion cube from Portal. So I don't really need this because I don't use either of those cookie jars in my real life. The only cookie jar I use with consistency came with my like canisters set that I have, this like vintage canister set in my kitchen, and we fill it with rice in the giant bag, so it's, yeah, like the rice vessel. So like I'm like also just thinking right now, I'm like, how concerned should I be that there's lead in my cooking canisters? They are true vintage, so
yeah.
I have to have a chitty chat with my husband about that one before I start baking Christmas goodies.
Yeah, absolutely. Going back to Jim Henson's son.
Yes.
Brian Henson doing the voice of Jack Pumpkinhead.
Yes.
Last episode, we were talking about the Wheelers.
No.
And that squeaking sound, the creaking that you hear before they come.
No.
My dad was telling me a story that he thought of because of that, like the creaking sound. It was, he had this like dream, and in the dream there was like this like run down merry-go-round that was just like turning in the dark.
Mr. Land's dad, are you okay?
And he woke up and he could still hear the creaking, so he went to go investigate. And he went downstairs because that's where it was coming from. And it was just a hamster in its wheel. I'm like, don't go investigate, Dad. You're going to die.
If there's one thing that I have learned from the very gracious people who are on TikTok who are not white, it is don't go investigate. That strange noise is none of your business. Stay in the house and just be chill. Just be chill. Don't give into your natural Caucasian curiosity. That's how you get murdered.
Like, it's like the girl who like lived in one of those buildings that was like a Candyman situation where there's nothing between their bathroom mirrors, and she felt like the wind going through, and it's like the series of TikToks, and I'm watching it. I'm like, why are you going through the mirror?
Get some duct tape, close it up, and pretend that nothing is happening. Call your super and be like, I have some concerns.
Mm-hmm. For my safety, please fix this.
Yeah, stay out of the forest. Thank you, My Favorite Murder. Fresh air is for dead people. Thanks, Morbid. Never go investigate. It's none of your business. Stay in your lane. But that has nothing to do with Christmas, and that is not why we're here. Speaking of Jack, what are your feelings about Nightmare Before Christmas? Is it a Christmas film? Is it a Halloween film? Or is it, as I like to say, a transitionary film between the periods because it begins on November 1st.
Yeah, I would agree. I've called it a November movie before.
I get that. Like, I was never one of those people who was, like, really devoted to Nightmare Before Christmas because, again, it's not something that I saw until I was an adult. So I never hit on it when I was, like, in my, like, angsty teen phase.
Oh, movies that aren't Christmas that I think of Christmas. I forgot to actually say what it was. The first Addams Family movie, because it starts at Christmas. They reference that, like, Chaz Adams comic where they, like, pour the cauldron on top of the carolers.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like, it's a Christmas movie. And we watched it with my partner and they're like, and then they pan up and then it goes the like da-da-da-da. And Scott's like, is that it? Is that the reason why you think it's a Christmas movie? Like that one bit? And I'm like, yep.
You're like, Die Hard takes place at Christmas and everyone says it's, we've all decided collectively it's a Christmas film.
It takes place at a Christmas party, and if you don't watch the rest of the series, which I don't, it's the story of a man who's gone halfway, or no, gone fully across the country to get back his family who he was losing. And he overcomes lots of challenges that make him question himself and his faults.
And he makes a new friend.
And as far as I know, they get back together at the end. Apparently that's not accurate, but it sounds like a Christmas movie to me.
And bringing it back to Devon Sawa, who is in Nightmare Alley with Bruce Willis, who is in...
Gasoline Alley.
Gasoline Alley. Why did Nightmare Alley is a totally different film with Bradley Cooper? I can't remember. I want to say Del Toro, but I'm not 100% sure. But it's like a very weird movie about circuses, from what I understand.
Ooh. That sounds like something that I would be very interested and not able to watch because clowns.
Yeah.
I like spooky, weird circuses, but clowns are just...
I'm just going to make it like an official note of the podcast. We do not fuck with clowns up in here. No. Neither of us.
No.
Were you also traumatized by it as a child?
I was not. I didn't watch it till I was 18. I
accidentally came upon my babysitter watching it as a small child.
Oh no.
Yeah. I have lots of friends who love the remake and I'm like, nope, we do not fuck with clowns in here.
I've only watched that Supernatural episode one.
Sam Winchester has it right. You do not mess with clowns.
And there was a Murdoch Mysteries episode in like season 15 with clowns. And when Scott saw that that was there, he's like, did you watch the clown episode? And I was like, yes. He's like, good for you, babe.
Aww, we love a supportive partner. Yeah, my two big nopes are clowns and spiders. And it combines both of those things.
Yes, it does. The Simpsons voiced my fears. It's the can't sleep, clowns will eat me.
Yeah.
And Simpsons roasting on an open fire is one of my favorite Christmas specials. And it's the first episode of The Simpsons. So bring it all back to Christmas.
Get your holly jellies together. So there's one more special that makes your Christmassy heart grow 3 sizes.
Yes. It's called A Wish for Wings That Work. There is this comic strip called Bloom County from back in the day. And there's a character named Opus. And he's a penguin whose bottom falls off a lot, like his backside. And then there's this cat named Bill, who is not that bright. They give reasons for it, like him being experimented on in that special. But I've also read comics where he was like a millionaire who had an anchor dropped on him when he was on a floaty beside his boat. And then his brain was traded with a cat's for some reason. It's this very strange little cartoon that this penguin just wants wings to work. He's obsessed with flying.
Aww.
Yeah. And like he goes to Flyers Anonymous with like a chicken and a kiwi bird, and the kiwi bird is voiced by Robin Williams.
Amazing.
And his girlfriend left him for an albatross. My beauty wings weren't big enough for Dolores. She needed an albatross. And it's just this really, really weird little cartoon. And it just fills my heart every time I watch it. And spoiler alert to everyone, including yourself, Santa gets stuck in the water in his sled, and the only person who can swim out to him in the cold water is Opus. And Santa points out to him that his wings work perfectly fine. It's just he flies in water and not air. And it's like, Santa!
What a wonderful tale of self-acceptance.
It's so great. And it, like, yeah, it's this comic strip that my dad read when in like the 80s and 90s, I think, and they just made this precious little Christmas movie that's so weird. But I bought it on DVD recently. I was so excited. I still have my VHS tape from when I was a little kid.
Okay, there's one thing that I just have to check, because I was like, there's something else that we watched every year. Is it? It is Winnie the Pooh and Christmas 2 from 1991.
Oh
my God. It's been driving me absolutely crazy because I'm like checking them off on my fingers and I'm like, what am I missing? What am I missing? What am I forgetting? And it's Winnie the Pooh and Christmas 2 because I also loved Winnie the Pooh as a child.
Yeah, we're big Winnie the Pooh fans over here.
I, to this day, identify heavily with Piglet because I too am extremely anxious, but like to be included.
And I was so small for so long. So I was like, I'm so little. I break easily.
But like Winnie the Pooh tries to bring Christmas to the 100-acre wood disguised as Santa with Piglet as a very sorry-looking reindeer. And I'm just like, is this on Disney Plus? Can I find this somewhere?
They have one that, like, the year we almost didn't get Christmas because Winnie the Pooh forgot to send the letters to Santa. That one's on Disney Plus. Yeah. I love Winnie the Pooh so much. I always will. Right. Sorry. I'm eating Skittles again.
That's okay. Also, Christmas-colored M&Ms and Easter-colored M&Ms are better than regular M&Ms, and this is the hill I will die on.
Rice Krispies. I love Christmas Rice Krispies.
I have Christmas Rice Krispies in my cupboard, and I love them.
Like, I'll just make one thing of Christmas Rice Krispie squares and cut it up into little things, and then I end up usually eating like at least half of it.
I always wanted to do the like, this is some other 90s shit we're gonna get into for just a second. They used to have molds that you could get. They were Christmas shaped, and you could like do something by collecting cereal box points, and then you can mail into Kellogg's and they would send you like a Christmas mold so that you could take your Rice Krispie dough and you can press it into like a tree shape or like a star. Snowflake. It was like a Bundt pan, like a mini Bundt pan, but for Christmas Rice Krispies specifically. And also Christmas Jell-O Jigglers. Jell-O Jigglers were huge. It's like when you pour Jell-O onto, if you don't know what that is, it's when you pour Jell-O onto a jelly roll pan. So that's the cooking sheet that has like a slightly taller lip on it, because you're supposed to use it to make cake. And you set it in the pan, and then you use cookie cutters to cut it into shapes. Like stars and trees, etc., and so forth. And then you just eat the jello and you can like lift it up and jiggle it because there's like a specific formula to make sure that the jello is like not regular jello so that you can handle it and it won't just melt.
My dad got a watch from Kellogg's once because of the, like, you collect a certain amount of blanks from the boxes and then you send it in. And he had like a little Kellogg's Rooster watch that I feel like was the only wristwatch I've ever seen him wear. He hasn't worn it, I'm sure it's broken now, but
That's so fun.
came in the mail. And he just wore a Kellogg's Rooster watch.
That's really cute, though.
He's much more of a pocket watch kind of person, though. Always has been.
Does he also wear vests? I feel like in order to pocket watch it, you should probably also wear vests.
He wears suit jackets regularly because of church, but he puts them in his pocket.
Because I'm like picturing a clip on the vest, on the button band of the vest, where you just like tuck it into the tiny pocket on the vest that is specifically for a watch. It's very Dickensian. Bringing it back.
My dad does like a flashy bow tie as well, so
That's fantastic. Does he have holiday bow ties?
I'm sure he does. I bought him this in I didn't know the joys of buying bow ties on the internet yet, so I bought him this bow tie for Christmas one year. I really, really like black on black paisley, and so I got him this bow tie that was, I think, made in Montreal, and it's like from a little suit boutique, and the thing costs like
Money.
money.
Many monies.
A single bow tie, but I was like, my dad loves these and it's beautiful. And so I got him this bow tie for Christmas. I'm looking forward to this Christmas though, because like with the pandemic and everything, we basically haven't spent Christmas with my family since 2019. And we're very, very tight-knit people. Oh, did you ever watch the Nutcracker Prince growing up?
I am a me it's a cart it's animated, right? Like and he has really those like round animated cheek. Am I talking about the right thing?
And
And
he's
he's just
voiced
like
by Kiefer Sutherland.
the super was and it's like I don't remember it because I feel like you're like a Nutcracker person or you're not. I don't feel like there's like in between casual like, oh yeah, I'll watch the Nutcracker. It's like you are here for the Nutcracker. It is your Christmas tradition. You will watch a ballet on PBS or some kind of movie, or you don't.
Or maybe you'll watch that ballet where Macaulay Culkin plays the Nutcracker because he used to do ballet when he was a kid.
All these things that I'm finding out. But yes, I remember that movie.
We watch it pretty often now. Yeah, it is weird. Kiefer Sutherland voices the Nutcracker. Like, that weird is that? My partner loved it growing up, and so it was one of his specials that he would always watch. So now we will watch it when we can find it. It's really difficult to get, though. If I want to spend like $60 on a VHS tape, I can get it.
It's an investment.
What is her name? She has Phyllis Diller, the like great laugh. She does the rap queen's voice. And so it's actually pretty wonderful. But it is another one of those little weird cartoons. Because like it really is a weird story. It's literally a candy dream, a candy Christmas dream that she's having.
Well, I feel like there was also like a subplot in that movie where he wanted to full Pinocchio be a real boy.
Yes.
Like part of his journey was to become like a real person.
Yeah, like he had some kind of weird curse thing.
Yeah, yeah, but he was like a real prince who was cursed to be a nutcracker and not just like a nutcracker.
The only nutcracker that I really watched growing up was the Barbie nutcracker because I love Barbie.
That's fair. I watched a man on TikTok start opening a Barbie Advent 12 Days of Christmas situation today. And it like came with like a Barbie that looks like a 1950s Barbie in like a little Mariah Carey Santa dress. And then the day two was like a little picture of Barbie and Ken in a frame, even though they're not together anymore. Apparently they're still good friends. And I'm like, true love is dead. I believe in nothing.
I love this Advent calendar and I'm really sad I don't have it.
Yeah, like it looked like it was like a 12 day. It was only 12, but I was like, this is cool. There's like little drawers and things. And I'm like, this is very cool. But I think it's like an expensive, serious Barbie collector thing.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
I always used to get gifted, even into my late high school years, the Christmas Barbie.
Okay.
Like there was every year they would put out a Christmas Barbie, she would have like a big dress and it would be a whole thing. And I recently gave like some of them away to like Value Village because I was like, they're still mint in boxes. I'm like, maybe I can make money on these. And then I was like, I don't care enough to do that. But I had the millennium, like year 2000, she has this like beautiful velvet dress and I was like obsessed with it. But they were like, you're not allowed to open it. And I'm like, what is the point of that? Yeah. And they're like, it's the year 2000 and you were born in 1986. You are 14 years old. You are too old to still be playing with Barbies. And I'm like, well, why would you give it to me then? They're like, so you can just look at it. And I'm like, but why? That seems...
Can't I look at it out of the box?
I was like, that seems mean to me. Because again, like I said, I feel like I had like a late bloomer situation because I was still into those things into my teenage years. Like I was still like, I still want to dress up Barbies and make up little stories in my head about them, which then I started doing on fanfiction.net instead about other things. I have a dirty, sordid past on fanfiction.net where it involves me writing things that I had no business writing at the age that I wrote them and burning through several fanfiction accounts that I can no longer find. RIP fanfiction.net. Catch me on Archive of Their Own. That's where you can find me now. Fangasmic is my username. Follow me for
Fangasmic.
Yes, I have Supernatural and Stranger Things. I feel like I should be more embarrassed about it, but I refuse. I refuse. I will no longer cringe. Anyways, I used to get these dolls. And then I was like, I don't want to actually like play with other people. I just want to sit in my room and picture the stories and like use them as a tactile aid in making up stories.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, you can't do that anymore. It's not okay. They have to stay in the box. And so they stood in the box until I was 36 years old and got rid of them.
Oh, yeah. I love Barbie. I still love Barbie. We have the same middle name, so that's special. Yes, she has a full name, including the middle name.
I would assume it's Barbara after the creator's daughter.
That's her first name, yeah. I think her last name's Roberts, because like on the TV show that they've done recently, even it's like, yeah, go family Roberts. But her middle name's Millicent.
That's fantastic. Also, your middle name is Millicent. Yeah. That's amazing. My middle name is Marie, like every other girl born from 1985 to 1989.
I was almost named Millicent instead of it being my middle name. And I was just like really glad that I didn't grow up as a Millie.
Yeah.
I'm not a Millie.
No.
I would have turned into a Mills, I think. Like, hey, Mills. Yeah. But that also sounds like maybe I play field hockey or soccer and I'm not athletic. So
I gave myself a nickname as an adult. So
yeah.
Well, actually, no, my family always called me Allie, but I started like exclusively using it, I think in like 2010. because I got a big grown up professional job and I decided I didn't want anyone to be able to find me on social media. So I hope that it's worked thus far. Do you have any Christmas traditions?
Christmas traditions is sort of like with us. We watch It's a Wonderful Life
Oh.
on Christmas Eve, and everyone falls asleep except for me, and I finish it and then I sleep in, and everybody else watches it in the morning.
We celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve. In knowing that we're gonna be doing a shit ton of cooking the next day, we order pizza
Oh, that's nice.
on Christmas Eve, and we call it Christmas. And I even have socks that say Merry Christmas on them.
I love it. Christmas pizza. Pizza for breakfast on the Instagrams does lovely, bedazzly Christmas earrings.
Nice.
If anybody wants to look it up.
I have a pair from Erstwhilder, which is an Australian brand. They make like acrylic, like retro brooches and jewelry and stuff. And they're like 1960s Christmas stars. But I don't really wear dangly earrings often anymore because wearing masks at work, like, it's difficult.
Yeah, that's fair. Before we wrap up and say goodbye, I have one thing that I came across on the internet today that mortified me. Macaulay Culkin is officially older than Catherine O'Hara was when she made Home Alone.
Oh gosh. Okay.
So that's a nice
Yeah.
little
We didn't
thing to
even talk
leave you
about Home Alone.
on.
We didn't even talk about Home Alone, which is a classic Christmas film where a family forgets their child. It's pretty horrendous, actually.
Yeah, I didn't watch the remake, but apparently it's awful. But I'm sorry, I don't believe that working nowadays.
No.
People don't leave their children alone.
It's a definite latchkey kid situation. And the other thing, just before you have to go, because I know you do, there is a sequel to A Christmas Story that just came
Yes.
out, starring the original Ralphie, which I guess revolves around him taking his dad's place as the maker of Christmas.
Oh, that's interesting. I haven't looked into it at all, but I saw that it existed and was very like, oh, weird. You could definitely tell it's the same guy. He has a very distinct face.
It's true.
Apparently, Will Wheaton auditioned for that role and he saw the kid in the audition room and was like, that kid's getting this. He just has the face for it.
And then one recommendation. I really enjoyed Noelle on Disney
I was
Plus.
gonna say that too for
And
recommendation.
I want her entire wardrobe. I love Anna Kendrick. I love
Right?
Anna Kendrick
Why
so
are you
much.
wearing mittens and a scarf? Because it's a, what did
It's
she
an
say? It's an
ensemble.
ensemble. I love that movie so much. We've already watched it twice this year.
I love my yogurt pants.
Shirley MacLaine as a grumpy elf.
It's so good.
There's a movie called Pottersville.
Michael Shannon.
Yeah, it's the weirdest movie. I love it so much. It really does give the vibes of like everybody just needed some more hours to get their SAG benefits for the year. I do not know how that movie exists, but I'm so grateful it does because it's just the cutest, weirdest little movie. And Michael Chan is just wonderful.
We love Michael Shannon.
And Judy Greer.
Judy Greer should have been the lead. I'm kidding. That's the t-shirt.
Yeah,
I would like to wish a very happy, healthy, bright, and lovely holiday season, regardless of what holidays you celebrate, with a specific happy holidays to Mr. Devon Sawa himself, rather than saying we are very sorry, though we are.
we are. Though I guess this week we're sorry, Casey Tebow, the director of Black Friday, for messing up the name of your movie.
And also, I would like to give a small apology to David Harbour, who I am probably going to objectify shamelessly for the next several months.
Yep.
We're sorry.
Yep.
We're
I
sorry.
look forward to it. We're sorry, but also happy winter's miss.
And happy Festivus to the rest of us. Meeting adjourned.
Can I Keep You is brought to you by the Devon Sawa Appreciation Society. Follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Can I Keep You Pod. Listen, follow, and leave us a review on the Podbean app or wherever you get your podcasts. And as always, we're sorry, Devon Sawa.